blessed by singing that hymn we just sang. These lovely words, blessings abound wherever he reigns, where he's on the throne. But he's on the throne, isn't he?
He's always on the throne, sir.
But doesn't it happen that blessings don't abound sometimes in our lives? Perhaps because he's not enthroned. The prisoner leaps to loose his chains. Well, we heard about that this morning, didn't we? The prisoner to sin, leaps to loose his chains because Jesus came to set prisoners free. And sin binds us up in prison. The weary find eternal rest, and all the sons of want are blessed. As I said this morning, if you don't really have any needs, you're probably in the wrong place tonight. But if you do have needs, this is the place to be. Because Jesus came to save us. He came to restore us. He came to transform us. He came, as the hymn just says, that blessings would abound wherever he reigned. Well, when we were on holiday just recently, God was teaching us that so clearly. If we disobeyed him even slightly, what happened, Kerry? We suffered. We did. We fell down wombat holes and we fell over fences and we had flat tires, and God was dealing with us. But when we obeyed him, what happened? We were blessed, so much so that my wife said to me, "This is the best holiday we have ever had." Well, that's something to say, isn't it? Christmas is a wonderful time because it brings us back to the basic foundations of Christianity. And it's really good, as I said this morning, to celebrate the Lord's Supper at Christmas time. Because the great truths of the Christian faith are the central focus of the Christmas story. You know, the Christmas carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." I have to confess, I have a favourite carol, and it's this one. "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." So it's basically telling us that in this little town of Bethlehem, something absolutely incredible took place. World-shattering, world-changing, transforming, and we even name the years we go by it. So it has to be significant, doesn't it? Even though we don't know exactly whether we're quite on the right target, 2023 is meant to be 2023 years after Jesus was born. Maybe 4 or 5 years either way, but it certainly is based on this one incredible, supernatural event of history. For Christ is born of Mary, and gathered all above, while mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. Well, seems to me that in lots of places there isn't peace, right? Why is that? Blessings abound where'er he reigns. Where'er he reigns. And God disciplines us in our lives, doesn't he? He allows us to go through things to draw us closer to himself. The prisoner leaps to loose his chains. Then verse 3 of this lovely hymn says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. God dwelling inside you. God inside you? Is that even possible? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? God living in you, the creator of the universe? This is what Christmas is about. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, O come to us, abide with us, O Lord Emmanuel, God with us. And not just alongside us, you know. We have those stories and even some hymns that talk about God alongside us. But the truth of the gospel is God inside us. God being born in us. God with us wherever we go. You carry God in you. If you're a born-again Christian, you carry God in you wherever you go. This is the message of Christmas. We found this on our holiday so clearly, and the discipline of God, if we grieve the Holy Spirit, was quite clear. He disciplines us in order to keep us close to himself, but when we obeyed him, what happened? Blessing just abounded, even as this hymn says, blessings abound wherever he reigns. So we have this story today, God with us. This is what Christmas really is essentially about. The God of the universe coming down and dwelling in our midst. And of course, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, who was the king of Judah, was facing all kinds of opposition, overwhelming opposition, actually. It looked, what did it say there? He was shaking like the trees in the wind and his people. And God said to him, they're not going to win against you. Why was that? Ahaz wasn't a particularly godly man. Because God was with him. God was on Judah's cause and purpose. He was going to defend Judah. Even today, as we prayed tonight for Israel, which is right to do because we're told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're told to pray for them, but God will truly fight for his people. And Ahaz is told by Isaiah to ask the Lord for a sign to confirm that this is going to happen. And he says, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Sounds very godly, doesn't it? Sometimes we can appear very godly, but we're not actually godly at all. Because we're not submitted to what God says. God is speaking through Isaiah. Ask a sign of the Lord your God. And Ahaz, in his outward appearance of godliness, I will not ask, I'll not put the Lord to the test. He said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isn't that an amazing statement? Suddenly out of Isaiah's mouth, a sign that God is going to give, a virgin will bear a child, so no possible human conception here, And this child will be called God with us. Now, this is 700 years before Jesus is born. Do you think God has a plan here? Do you think he's going to fulfill it even with Ahaz and his rebelliousness and all the rest of it? Nobody can fight God and win. No one. None of us can fight God and win. Better to join him, because he's going to win. He has already won, actually, but he's going to win in the end too. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, we heard this morning how the angels told Joseph, you shall take Mary to be your wife, for the child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The fulfillment of this prophecy of Isaiah to Ahaz in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, 700 years later. Is this trying to confirm that this really is the promised Messiah of Israel? The one that Alistair was praying for Israel to actually recognize? Actually, if you study the scriptures, it's so clear that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. We go on with Isaiah 53 and etc., and it is so clear. And then, of course, we have John's writing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name. And what's his name? Jesus, thank you, Stuart. And what does Jesus mean from this morning? Savior. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. If you're feeling bound by sin of some kind, we have been given a Savior. You only have to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness and cleansing, and he will set you free. Completely free. He gave the right to become children of God who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of, but born of God. So, in fact, born just like Jesus. Born just like Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the child born in you will be the Son of God. And every Christian person who believes in Jesus and is born again is a child of God. God dwells in you. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We've seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, you see, as we have the New Testament unfolding, the central message of Paul and the apostles is Christ in you, God living in you. If God is in me, don't I have to be very careful how I speak? Do you remember Lamb's message before he went away to Sudan? Beautiful message about Isaiah entered into the very presence of God and immediately was convicted about things he had said with his mouth. God lives in us. Let us only speak words. Jesus said, I can only speak the words I hear the Father saying. And God lives in you and me just the same. God with us. God Emmanuel. This is the message of the gospel. We are the temple. We are the dwelling place of God Himself. And we come to the table of the Lord Jesus. What is this table actually all about? What is Jesus trying to get us to remember when we come to the table and break the bread and drink the wine or the grape juice, the fruit of the vine? What's he trying to get us to remember? Well, firstly, he came. He came to do something for us. What did he come to do for us? God with us. When he was being crucified on the cross, what did he cry out? My God, my God, why have you left me? Why are you not with me? God is not with me anymore. That was the greatest anguish and suffering of Jesus Christ. God was not with him. God turned away from him. God rejected his own son on the cross because he took our place truly, fully. That's what he wants us to remember. He wants us to remember as we break the bread, his body broken for us. And then as we take the cup, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. What's the new covenant? God would come and put his own spirit inside us. We would be like Jesus, born of God. That's the new covenant. That's what Jesus has done. He has made it possible for every one of us here to be truly a child of God and God to be with us forever, never to leave us. And not just alongside us, but living inside us by his own spirit. This is what the Lord's Supper is really about. Jesus taking our place and being cut off from God, so that we can take his place and be with God forever. God with us. Emmanuel. So when you go out this week, as you come to the Lord's table and remember these things, what will you remember during the week? God is in you. The God who created the universe dwells in you. Is he able to do all things? Are you facing things, maybe at work or in your ministry? Certainly I face this, that you feel you can't do. Oh, no, that's impossible for me. What are you believing about God? What are you believing he is able to do in your life, through you, as an individual person? If God is with us, is anything impossible for God? Is anything too hard for me, says God? You know, most of us struggle at this point because we look at our own resources. We think of our own selves. We think of our own failures, our own weaknesses. We don't look at God. We don't look at Jesus. We don't believe God is in us. God is with us. And Jesus said, if you would believe, you will see the glory of God. If you would believe. Now, here I am, a preacher. I couldn't even speak in public, I can tell you. I was so frightened. God can do anything with any one of us. We're not to limit what God can do through each of us. And he wants to prove himself to you by doing things you can't do. God wants to do things through you and in you that you could not do. Where would the glory be when that happens? What will you testify to when that takes place? You will testify not to yourself, but to the God who lives in you, the God who has transformed you. As I shared before about Paul Jang and the Korean experience, you know, it's transformed this young Korean man. Some of you have met him. He's passionate. And God has done amazing things through him. When he was a drunkard and trying to curse the church that his father was leading. Nothing is impossible for God. And if God is in you, then nothing is impossible for you. Right, Mrs. Jensen? When you go down to Cafe Care tomorrow night and share with the people who is in you. And as each of us go into our daily work, who is in you? This is the message of good news of the gospel. God with us. God dwelling in us. And therefore nothing is impossible for him. Nothing is impossible. The thing that we struggle to is to believe what he says. And to obey what he tells us to do. He wants us to believe what he has already done for us and what he is going to do through us because he is with us. So when you face your challenges this week, maybe in your older age and feel that you can't do certain things, remember God is with you and in you. Nothing is impossible for him. Let's pray.